a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Welcome to another of your favourite podcasts. In fact, research carried out over Christmas and New Year period has shown that the popularity of this podcast has quadrupled.
Soared.
Which, given that it was the most popular podcast ever made, is just standing us in very good stead.
I love, where are we getting these figures from? Or are we just not asking
where we're getting the figures from? Good. I saw them on the internet.
You saw them on the internet. That's a great place. Trust everything there.
Yeah, brilliant. I saw that and I thought, I instantly believe all of this information. Yes. Susie said to mention it as well.
Good.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. She's live from the pub, but actually made her way in, which is a lovely thing. Brother Matt is still where you'd expect him to be.
Yep.
And Sister Holly is still draped over the cupboard of tat.
Nice. Yeah, I always am.
Because it's the only way she can stop thieving hands getting in to nick all the wonderful stuff that's in there. Mm. And we have a full fat offering for you today. No skimping because I'm sick or anything like that.
Oh, nope. Imagine that.
We're going to be stopping at the parish notice board for all the latest notices and Matt's five-star reviews. I mean,
yes, my five-star reviews.
Filter.
All yours.
We'll also head to the not-for-broadcast section, which feature the confessions inappropriate for general broadcast and the confessions that made it through, the ones that were good enough to be on the Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, Monday to Friday, 4 till 7. Thank you for listening, including Eunice's baking drama, Someone Left the Cake Out in the Rain, Andy's wild boar tale, If You're Angry and You Know It, Clap Your Hands, Jeff's confession, I Can't Keep It In, I Gotta Let It Out. But first we start with Naughty Nobby, who was trying to convince us that pranks can be forgiven with his confession, You Can Ring My Bell.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Naughty Nobby. That's how he signed it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Naughty
dear.
Nobby, thank you very much. Simon and the Confessional Collective. It was 2005 at the Bash Street High School of Information Technology. After 5 years, we had established ourselves as the Masters of Mischief, before focusing on important stuff like coursework and revising for our GCSEs, we had one more prank to enact. And you know what we think of pranks on this show,
We love them. That's what we think about them, isn't it? Mm. Oh, no.
Months earlier, one of the senior leaders typed their password into the username field when logging onto a whiteboard. He thought we hadn't seen it, but we did. We logged into the school's public website as this senior leader, who had administrative privileges. We proceeded to change those dreadful fake smiley pictures of the entire leadership team. To name a few, the brutal headmistress became Miss Trunchbull from Matilda, the ruthless deputy head became Napoleon Bonaparte, and the unhinged Year 9 head, Captain Haddock from Tintin, the latter being the spitting image of his namesake, though a vile temper, black beard and his polo neck jumpers, you get the general idea. I wish this was the confession, with me seeking forgiveness for how it took them several days to notice, and for the scrutiny the Information and Technology Specialist School's cybersecurity got from the local authority's educational department. But it is not.
But it is not.
Oh, dear.
For the Year 9s and their leader, Cheeky Charlie, were not content to let us leave gracefully. Upon entering school on a snowy day, three of the sports fields had enormous, indecent images melted into the snow using the school's own grit supplies. The fourth field had my name and a smiley face. These images were so large, passing planes could have seen them. They then swiftly reprimanded my crew and me. Ignoring our pleas of innocence, we were sentenced to 3 weeks of lunch and after-dinner school detention. And so began Operation Legacy. It started with borrowing a key to the technology workshop. My crew distracted the lab technician, Mr. Pye, by inciting one of his boring monologues about how exciting his home extension was.
Good
every
man.
Every teacher has a trigger
like
that.
Yeah, they do.
This allowed me to sneak into a back room to access a spare key to the key cabinet. The next morning, we used the said key to enter the locked classroom, where Cheeky Charlie and his crew could commence their lesson at 9:15. Searching the metal storage cabinet, we located the Year 9 autumn term project, which was constructing alarm clocks. There were exactly 385 of them.
Okay.
Mischief managed. We locked the classroom door from the inside returned the borrowed key and mixed up all storage cabinet keys before exiting through the fire door, which closed shut from the outside. 9:15 came. We're in a classroom close to the Year 9s and, more importantly, the unhinged head of Year 9, Captain Haddock's office. It's also in the hallway. The 15 minutes we waited seemed like a lifetime, but at 9:30, hundreds of alarm clocks rang out. They jumped and rattled within the metal cabinet, echoing like an army of tin-clad knights clumsily bouncing down a cobbled street with boxes of bells. Okay. Captain Haddock threw open his door, roaring words to the effect of billions of blue blistering barnacles. The technology teacher, dear old Mr. Peaches, came out stuttering, "The key doesn't work." That's my voice.
It is. Done. Yeah.
Eyewitnesses claim that after failed attempts to open the cabinet, Captain Haddock called out, "Fetch me a hammer and chisel." And broke
that voice has changed. Anyway, go on.
No, that was Mr. Peaches before. Doesn't work.
No,
that's
the
Mr.
one
Peaches.
You used for the captain. It doesn't matter. Anyway, go, carry on.
Fetch a hammer and chisel.
Hammer and chisel, he said.
And broke it open, beginning the process of diffusing the alarms one by one. Cheeky Charlie and a few of his crew were reprimanded and dragged into the corridor. Their protests of innocence were ignored. Now, some listeners may be thinking, hang on, 385 alarm clocks are a lot to put in one metal storage cabinet. And they would be correct. There was a second cabinet whose alarms had been set to go off 15 minutes later.
Oh, no.
It was during Captain Haddock's deranged rant at Cheeky Charlie that round two began, inducing a door-shaking, inaudible roar from the head of Year 9. Entering the workshop, he and Mr. Peach, "They don't work," followed the same process, failing to find the right key, breaking open the cabinet and manually disarming the alarm clocks one by one. Being older and wiser, unhinged can easily be mistaken for on the edge of a nervous breakdown, and we hope Captain Haddock as well. The sincerest apologies goes to Mr. Peach, "It doesn't work," and Mr. Pie, who were the sweetest and kindest of teachers. We hope they and all the good teachers suffered no lasting harm from our antics during months and all the years prior. We like to think we kept the pupils and staff from entertained and perhaps, here's the really tough one, convinced your team, Father Simon, about the wider benefits of a good, forgivable prank.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you might think it's forgivable, Naughty Nobby, but let's check it with Sister Suze, who is never impressed with a prank ever.
No, I don't really like a prank. And, like, the history beforehand of the many, many pranks that you've done just also just made me not want to forgive the one prank you're asking for forgiveness for.
I think we edited out quite a few as well.
Oh, did we?
Yes.
I just feel like it's very clever and, you know, nice to have the alarm clocks in two cabinets and set the alarms off 15 minutes later and da-da-da-da-da-da. Well done. But no, Naughty Nobby, I don't forgive you because it's just wasting time. You should be learning in school.
I think they're about to leave. They've kind of given up for the day,
still.
Brother
Matthew. So I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to file this one under hostage to fortune. What school decides to do a project where you have to make an alarm clock and then stores all those alarm clocks on the premises? Feels like a hostage to fortune to me. Don't go along those roads. Also, felt very Ocean's 11 this with if George Clooney had been painting naughty pictures on a football pitch and other things like that. So, so that all works. And the Captain Haddock got what he deserved, didn't he? All of the blistering barnacles. So, for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Because
of all those reasons.
So many.
Okay.
So many.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I was struggling to follow the logic of that one.
It's like all those reasons I was given is a bit like what the faithful do in Traitors. I'm voting for you because all of these reasons. I don't like the way you look. You said something bad to me at breakfast, therefore I'm voting.
Yes.
I really hope you're not a traitor, but I'm voting for you anyway.
I have an instinct and I have this story inside me which
also
tells me.
Also, I'm not spelling your name right. I'm voting for yourself.
Oh, I hate when they say that drives
Love
me
it.
Up the wall.
Love it.
Why can't they just say you? It's shorter.
Voting for you.
Voting for you.
The honest truth would be, honestly, we got no idea, but based on hardly any evidence at all, your collar looks slightly...
So
I'm going to go for that.
Anyway, that was a strange turn, which I blame Matt for.
Yeah. So
as he's started, he might as well continue. As there he is at the parish notice board.
What there I am. Yes. Jimmy B 93 says 5 stars. I've been a listener since the dark days of the other place, and recently found this podcast after hearing the confession by chance on Greatest Hits Radio. I'm starting
by
to get,
chance.
Yeah.
By chance.
By chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Word with our marketing team. I'm starting to convince my fiancé to listen. She's chuckling at the ones like Ivy falling in the grave. Lol, 5 stars as always. And all hail the forgiver, Matt. And one day soon, I will send him my confession, which is still ongoing.
What?
That sounds intriguing.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, he's hooked us there, hasn't he?
Well, that'd be
get
quite
back
good.
In touch, Jimmy B, 93.
Yeah, so a confession which has been committed, but he's... Continuing
to do it, yeah. Yes. Not a lot of remorse, I would have thought.
Okay,
not
for that one.
Tom, 5 stars, best podcast ever. I enjoy listening to Simon Mayo's confessions. It's the highlight of my week after a long week. I don't know why I'm doing this point. Anyway, I'm going to carry it on, it doesn't matter. Yeah. After a long week of work. Always hilariously funny with the stories that are told. Brother Matthew, always forgiving, and also with his infectious laugh has me in hysterics. Keep up the great work. Best wishes, Tom Carter from Bodmin. Don't know whether we needed to include what? Tom's name. Does it anyway?
It sounds as though you're trying to shout.
I do. Yeah, doesn't it?
Tom's on Bodmin and you're here.
Yes, I am shouting at Tom on Bodmin more. But thanks,
what
Tom. Well done. Anonymous
one
says
more.
6 stars and more. Matt is ace. The team are fantastic and Simon is the bestest, especially when he does his accents. Mm. This podcast is my favourite and I eagerly wait for Friday to indulge in the stories of other people's mishaps and adventures. If there was a button for 6+ stars, I'd press it. Keep up the awesome work. So says Anonymous.
I like how Susie and I are just like the team.
The team.
Yeah. We don't get a name check.
Yeah, it's me picking all of these 5-star reviews and my ego requires me to be involved, so...
Are you going to keep that voice?
Yes, for the entire show. I don't know why I'm doing this voice.
Yeah,
weird voice, isn't it?
It's
anyway, Bodmin Moore voice. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm voting for I'd like the authentic Matt voice back.
Yeah. You want that one? So this is my authentic voice.
That's the one. Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, that one.
We can rely on Susie to find something interesting on the notice board. What do you have?
Always. I've got an email from Ella today. She says, "Dear Father Simon and the Confessional Collective, my name's Ella. I'm 21 years old and I've been listening to confessions since my mum, Sarah, introduced me many years ago. Our favourite one is the one about the parents who kept telling their child to go back to bed the night before Christmas, not realising the child had got stuck in the toy handcuffs in their stocking."
Oh, okay. I don't remember
but
that
got
one.
Stuck in the handcuffs.
Do you not remember? I'm sure that was a while
hilarious.
Back.
I don't remember this.
No, it wasn't here.
Was it back in the day?
Yeah, I think it was back in the day. But it was very good, back, I think.
On the other side.
I'll have to figure out.
It was Radio 1, maybe.
Yeah, it could have been.
It could have been.
Yeah, you got away with anything then.
I am writing to ask if you could please find it in your heart and the cupboard to send my mum some tat. She listens to the podcast religiously and has the car radio tuned to all the Greatest Hits localities so that when she drives to collect me and my brother from university, a 3-hour journey, she can swap between them as needed without losing signal and without missing any of the show.
Good.
She works really hard for us and is truly a wonderful mum. I know some tat from the cupboard would make her day. Thank you for considering my plea and making us laugh so much. Lots of love, Ella.
Well, I mean, it's a very lovely email, Ella. Thank you very much indeed. Mm-hmm. And hello to your mum, Sarah. Thank you for listening. The thing is that Holly is, as I said earlier, draped over the tat cupboard, and it doesn't look as though it's going to be easy to pry her fingers from the door. But what do you think?
Well, it sounds like Ella herself is a fan, but she's thinking actually the mug can go to my mum, which is quite nice, isn't it?
I suppose. I like that.
And so, with that in mind, we will send Sarah and Ella, but mainly Sarah, a mug. And a signed postcard.
It's also a very good idea to, you know, forget all the other, on the presets, preset 1, Greatest Hits Radio.
Yes.
And then all the other areas around you, could be 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then maybe 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Of course, yeah.
On those other bones. Be more Sarah, be more Ella. Thank you very much. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Should you have an email to send us, a couple of mentions right now to Paul Frame, Norman Kelly, Pam and Polly, Lightbound, Neil Ogden, and Eddie Howard, amongst the Groovers, who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, I can't remember.
Which was, yes.
PDA.
PDA VBC.
Oh, right, that's
we all
right.
remember that, the public thing.
It's written down
public
here, but
display,
I don't know.
Public display of affection. Very bad cough.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt will now, we'll have a secret code phrase at the end of this podcast.
Yes, I will. It'll be superb.
I think I know what it's going to be, but anyway.
Oh, you do, don't
you? Right, now it's time for the rather grubby part of the podcast, the Mark Knopfler section. Starting with Buster's sense of disappointment in voice. You'll be aware that pranks are already on fairly thin ice on this programme, although, you know, one does sneak through every now and again. But when they involve industrial cling film, black paint and repeated ambushes in the gents' toilet, that ice becomes very thin indeed. Two separate toilet-based incidents, both claiming the trousers of the same head of security. The very top of the not-for-broadcast section for you, Buster.
I literally have no idea what he's done.
Yes, I'm confused.
What, cling film?
Cling film and a black paint and someone's
over the
trousers.
Toilet. Over the
over the toilet.
Yeah, so...
So what's he doing with his trousers?
So someone's gone to the toilet with their trousers on. No, there's so...
They've taken down the trousers.
And they've used the toilet.
Use the toilet, yes.
Yes.
And then it can't go down the toilet because there's cling film. So it's gone over the side
of his trousers.
Side of the toilet.
And then onto the trousers.
And the black paint is on the toilet seat, presumably.
I wouldn't go if it was just black. In the look.
So Jesse's going in the dark.
Is he going in the dark?
I don't know.
So that's what I'm thinking.
Why does, anyway?
You look inside the loo before
yes,
you go.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Life lesson there, Holly, quite right.
Unless you're on your phone, in which case you don't notice.
No.
Don't notice the loo.
No.
Go where you want when you're on your phone. Is that the law? No. Just check that.
What, anywhere? Not even in a toilet?
Just say into the toilet.
Yes, you
look
do.
Look into the toilet. Oh,
not
my
if you've
goodness.
Got your phone.
What on earth?
Well, obviously, this guy
kind
must
of life
have
you're
looked
living.
Into the toilet.
No. Definitely always
that's
look into the
reckless.
Toilet.
That's very reckless. You've got
what,
to look
in case there's a snake?
Yes,
oh,
in case there's
goodness,
a snake.
Yes. Well, our Australian listeners will tell you to always look into the...
Do snakes live in toilets?
Well, them and the...
spiders.
There you go.
Huntsman spiders.
Huntsman spiders.
Huntsmans
and all the other...
But they can be on the loo roll as well, I've heard.
But also, if you've got cling film over the toilet, the snake couldn't
so
get out.
So actually, you'd want the cling film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So
I like Buster.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, fabulous. Goodness. Well done, Buster. Yeah.
Tim, your confession, hopefully this is more straightforward.
I'm not sure it is.
Was a reminder that childhood greed and poor labelling were a dangerous mix back in the 1970s. A secret stash of raspberry sweets leads you to an unfortunate incident in school, which prompted an entire class to check their shoes for dog mess. The fact that the problem was much closer to home due to the laxative effect of the sweets. Oh, I see.
Oh,
there
right,
no,
I see. That's why.
Means this confession would not be suitable for tea time. If it's got a laxative in, it's not on.
No.
Save yourself the time.
No. I'm still working this out. I'll be there in a minute.
He's found the sweets. He's at the sweets because he's a kid and is like, ooh, sweets. Gobble, gobble, gobble at loads of them.
But they're not.
In school. Well, they are sweets, but they have a laxative effect if you eat too many of them.
Right.
He's then in school.
Oh.
Nature takes its course.
Nature takes its course. The class, sniff, sniff, sniff. Oh, dear.
Blame it on the dog.
Done a messy in his
blame
pants.
It on the dog, yes.
Yeah. Blame it on the sunshine.
Blame it on the boogie. Anyway,
it's pretty revolting stuff. And basically, it can't be broadcast at tea time.
No.
We sneak it through on a podcast. Anyway, enough of that. Let's raise our eyes to the horizon, shall we? And elevate our souls. Because it's...
Wow.
No one can see you putting your hands in the air, but it was worth it just for us.
Enough of that. It's confessions that made it through the censorious arms of Sister Susie, who chops these... with gay abandon. It's Eunice's confession. Someone left the cake out in the rain.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Eunice. I don't think we've had a Eunice send in a confession before.
Ooh.
Fire the Simon in the Confessional Collective. It's about the early 80s, when I was at a secondary school in the south side of Glasgow, which was well known for producing a few Celtic players and a few well-known actors.
Oh.
However, says Eunice, I am neither an actor nor a footballer for Celtic.
Right.
However, at the time, one of my subjects that I enjoyed was domestic science, later known as food and nutrition. Before that, I think it was called cooking.
Yes.
I was about 15 years old and enjoyed the cooking lessons. We were a class of about 13 girls who were all paired up except for myself, and I liked having my own area and working on my own. However, that week's lesson, we had one girl who was off. As I started prepping my area, the teacher thought we'd save putting on an oven and moved me to work with a girl called Anne. I thought, okay, well, I'll share with Anne then, particularly as Anne was the best baker in the class. We joked that she would give Mr. Kipling a run for his money.
Yeah.
So we began the lesson, and we were making butterfly cakes. Now, every cooking lesson at school involved several dishes where all the ingredients were laid out in front of us. We had a lot of plates. We began our mixing, and I got my 12 cakes in paper cases and ready for the oven, and I did it before Anne. Mm. As I went to pop mine onto the top rack of the oven, Anne came behind me and said, This is my cooking area, so my cakes go on the top rack.
Oh.
You can have the bottom. This is how they speak in the south side of Glasgow.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the top, and you can have the bottom. Thanks very much. Feeling a bit miffed, I slotted my cakes into the bottom rack, only to see them slide down at an angle because the bottom rack was wonky. I felt very annoyed.
Oh, dear, wonky rack.
As I got back to the table, the teacher asked Anne to make the buttercream for our butterfly cakes. She also announced that I would have to wash Anne's dishes as well as mine. By now, I am really, really annoyed. How dare she make me do this? There's a lot of dishes and containers to wash. It was all made worse by Anne taking her time with the cream, so I had dried the dishes and put them away. I was not in a good mood. As I got to the table, I heard the cooker timer go off. But as Anne was incapacitated making buttercream, I opened the oven. I looked in to see Anne's cakes had risen beautifully and were all identical, like in Bake Off. I looked down to the bottom rack to see my cakes, all misshaped due to being cooked at a slant, also sometimes seen
on Bake Off. Yeah.
I'm sure they were burnt on one side and raw on the other. I felt very disappointed. I turned my head round and Anne was busy faffing about with the buttercream, poncing around. She wasn't paying attention, so I did something I shouldn't have done, but hey. I swapped the cakes around. Her tray was now my tray. Now my cakes were a sensation, and hers were the wonky failures. I said, oh, Anne, look at your cakes. What's happened? Her face, again.
It's a very, very
Southern Glasgow.
South Glasgow.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Her face fell. At this point, the teacher ventured over. She got really cross that her little star baker had failed to produce the goods on this occasion. She then started praising me and said, look at Eunice's cakes. Aren't they amazing? Anne, what has happened to yours? I said, what has? I lapped it up. This has never happened before. I enjoyed the situation, and I enjoyed the attention. I looked at Anne and her crestfallen look. She kept saying that she couldn't believe what had happened. This had never happened to her before. Needless to say, I buttercreamed those beautiful cakes and enjoyed them one by one. I think the other cakes went in the bin, or possibly sent home with Anne so she could correct the error of her ways for next time.
Mm.
Each one tasted of bitter tears.
And buttercream.
And buttercream.
Yes.
And sour grapes.
Yeah.
I asked for forgiveness for misleading my then teacher, Miss Duffy, and forgiveness for duping Anne, who did in fact become an amazing baker when she left school. I'd like to think I contributed to pushing herself to be better and never fail like she thought she had done on that particular occasion, but she hadn't. But hey, I was the star baker just for one day and it felt great. Sister Susie, what do you say to Eunice?
Well, Eunice, like I feel like maybe I should say that you shouldn't swap your cakes, but I am going to say, who wouldn't have done the same in that situation?
I think everybody would have done the same, yes.
I feel like everyone would have swapped them, and maybe Anne should have been a bit nicer and offered to help, and maybe she deserved what she got. So I'm on Eunice's side and I'm going to forgive today.
Okay, all right. Very interesting, Brother Matthew.
Yes, I agree with Susie. I'm going to forgive tonight. Number one, why did she have to wash all the dishes? That doesn't make it... That's not fair at all.
No.
And whilst Anne's doing all the buttercream, that's not fair. Unless Anne was doing the buttercream for both of them, but I didn't think she was. So, yes, I'm definitely forgiving. I mean, in fact, I'm going to forgive just for the phrase poncing about with a buttercream. That's going to be a first.
Yes.
We've not done that in the confessions before, no. Have we? So, yes, forgiven for all those reasons.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
See, that's what I think is going to be the
I think you might be right.
Phrase.
I think you might be right.
Unless you've thought of something else. Anyway, complete forgiveness for Eunice. Let's check in with Holly. Would you go along with the majority opinion there?
I don't know. I think maybe Anne had, you know, a troubled family life. And that's why she wasn't very nice to people at school.
Mm.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, you know?
So true.
And she went on to be a great baker.
Yeah.
Is she a famous baker? Do we know who the she is?
She's Anne the Baker.
Anne the Baker.
Yeah. That Anne.
Mary Berry, someone like that.
With the cakes.
Anyway. No, Mary Berry is called Mary Berry.
Mary Berry, that's it.
She's not called Anne.
Famously, that's her name, isn't it?
Still to come, there is a computer game rage. Lego destruction, a wild boar and a brother called Min Mims in Andy's confession. If you're angry and you know it, clap your hands. But first, it's Jeff's confession. I can't keep it in. I gotta let it out.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Today's confession, I should say, is, if you're eating...
Oh, no.
It might be, you know, it's okay. It's just mildly, you know, icky.
Oh, right, one of those.
Icky,
yeah. Comes from Jeff. Jeff, I'm just going to leave it at that, if that's all right with you. Stand by for the end, though.
Oh, right.
Father Simon, Matt, Susie, Holly and the team. My confession goes back to the 1990s when our son was potty training.
So there you go.
That's where we are.
That's where we are.
It's a potty training story. Many parents will have had the experience during this time in their children's lives of carrying a potty with them at all times to get their children into the right habits. It is a stressful time for all, one that brings euphoria for a correctly deposited deposit, and one that brings heartbreak and anguish when the inevitable accidents occur. A successful day can be measured in triumphant toilet trips. A failed day can be measured by the amount of laundry that has been generated. I was out in Middlesbrough town centre one day, and our son uttered those bone-chilling words. He said to me, "Daddy, I need the toilet." Because that's how kids talk.
That is how kids talk,
Australian.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That's right, Australian, yes. Well, it's more Australian than Middlesbrough, that's for sure. Anyway, the good news is I was prepared. Of course I was. And in a flash, I produced the potty.
From
a carrier bag, okay, presumably. Right, yeah. The only problem was that he sat down on it in the middle of the street and did something.
Oh, when you've got to go.
Yeah, exactly. And he did something there rather more substantial than I had expected. Oh. And I, of course, was smiling at passers-by. Hi, don't mind us.
Oh.
Terribly sorry. No, please don't stare. We'll be over shortly. No, not number ones this time. Please carry on. Nothing to see here. Anyway, it seemed to go on for an eternity. But eventually, the business had been completed.
Mm-hmm.
I was therefore left holding a full potty in the middle of the town centre and wondering what on earth I could do about it. I could hardly pop into WH Smith to check out the latest newspapers and CD releases if I had a full potty in one hand.
No. Yeah, no, don't want that.
I had planned a Woolworths visit too with a list of items to buy, but again, the contents of my left hand made that impossible. And then I remembered there were some toilets in the bus station. So we went there and I emptied the potty out. What a relief to get the job done, as it were.
Yeah. Nice.
After this, I filled a basin with water and washed the potty out. However, when I went across the room to get a paper towel to dry it, a man emerged from another cubicle, saw the basin full of water, and proceeded to wash his hands in it without soap.
Okay.
Well, I stood there dumbstruck, not sure how to say, That basin of water has just been used to clean out a rather dirty potty. I mean, can't you see it's not exactly crystal clear water, is it? So I left him to finish his routine and depart. So, here we go. I do therefore seek forgiveness for leaving him with hands that were possibly more infected than before he washed them.
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, washing your hands in a random bowl of water that you've seen in a public toilet, really? Here's the sign-off. My crime is all the worse, Father Simon, given that I am now Deputy Director for Infectious Disease Prevention in NHS England.
Oh, what? Well done. Yes.
Wow.
So therefore, I mean, you could say this is a very instructive moment in Jeff's life, because before this tale, he was on the road to, I don't know, some life of iniquity. selling shares or something, I don't know.
What?
But now, because of this potty moment, his life was turned around and look at where he is now, Deputy Director for Infectious Disease Prevention in NHS England. Yeah. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, I have lots of things to say about this. There's many questions that are raised. First of all, if you're potty training, what are you doing in the middle of the town centre? Don't you just stay at home until they know what they're doing?
Well, he had things to do in town.
But I just don't know. I don't know. But also, you know, you've very good thinking. Go to the toilets to wash it out. But also, maybe don't leave it in the sink as well. Don't leave a basin full of water
needed.
But then also that
towel.
Man, what is he doing? Putting his hands in a random basin of water. Yeah, I don't forgive any of them. I think they all need to think a bit harder about their decisions.
Okay, they need to try harder. That's what they need to do.
I wonder where that was coming.
Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive. I think everyone was fine, apart from your man with the washing his hands in the potty.
Oh.
Not a great
with
idea.
With hands more infected.
Exactly. And also, it's a potty. It doesn't even look like a basin. But I'm going to forgive Jeff. And Mini Jeff, we didn't find the name of Mini Jeff. We got to go. It took a while, though, in the middle of the street. But never mind. You know, that's what's happened. And he's done very well. We've all got those reasons, haven't we?
Yeah.
So I'm going to forgive.
Lots of them.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Andy. I know what Matt is going to say.
Forgiven.
Ooh. Forgiven.
Probably.
Inevitably. Father Simon, Sister Holly, Sister Susie, and Father Matt, round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Very good.
Me and my parents have lived in the Dordogne region in the southwest of France since 2008. I really don't know if I'm going to get a new smart speaker since we don't get Greatest Hits Radio over here. You do if you have the Rayo app, of course.
Yes, of course.
But I've been listening to your often hilarious confessions podcast since last year on Spotify, where it is available worldwide. And that's why I'm sending my story in. My mum used to listen to your show as well when she was younger.
That's nice to know.
On the drive back from work, possibly somewhere else. Yes, I think so. I think that was somewhere else.
Okay.
During the early months of us living in the peaceful French countryside in the southwest of the country, there'd been a massive storm one night that was so strong, a wild boar came charging out from the forest, entering our garden, and we had to hide indoors to stay safe. I have to say, I think this is the first time a wild boar has appeared.
This is good.
Other than the presenter of the show,
in
the confessions history. The French neighbour's father and son chased the boar away from our garden, and it leapt the stream. We thought they were going to capture it and eat it, but we'll never know. The year now is 2010, and me and my older brother, Min Min's, we're really into building our... That's his brother's name, Min Min's. We're really into building our Lego city. We would spend hours and hours having fun with Lego figures and building vehicle houses and the big boat and the police station and the fire station and the train that came with the tracks and a switch to make it move and the farmyard and the schoolhouse, which I had accidentally crushed after losing my balance and falling backwards. Much to Min Min's annoyance. Bear in mind, I was only 7 at the time, and Min Min's was a year older than me.
Okay.
Wow.
Grown man called me. Anyway, go on, carry on, yes.
Aside from that, I was in Min Min's bedroom upstairs one day, where his whole Lego city is displayed, while he was at school, and I turned on his PlayStation 2. On this infamous day, I played a game called Noddy and the Magic Book. It was a simple preschooler's game in which our hero is on the search for Big Ear's magic book, where the two goblins, Sly and Gobbo, they've stolen it while having to do multiple tasks for the residents of Toyland. Wow. Grand Theft Noddy, this is not.
That's good. I like that.
I was sitting on the floor playing this game in front of the TV right next to Min Min's entire Lego city. In this game, I was controlling Noddy, filling up bottles of milk at a factory, catching chickens, avoiding big bouncy balls on the road whilst driving the red and yellow car, serving customers the right food and drinks at Miss Pink Cat's cafe, and helping Mr. Sparks fit a broken rocket in his garage. There are no lives, but there's a short time limit, which is usually 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah.
However, it was the second to last level, similar to the one I've just described, that really got my goat. To add to the exhausting task of memorising which coloured potions Noddy should put on the table next for Big Ears to put in a cauldron to make a spell, Sly and Gobbo are seen under the table and they keep changing the positions of the potions.
So like them.
In a different order, very fast. And because I had bad luck at memory puzzles like this, if the order was wrong or if the time limit was up, I'd just get that game over screen.
Oh.
And I got so infuriated, I destroyed Min Min's Lego police station. I did not handle this situation very well, Father Simon. I completely then destroyed the whole city. Crash, bang, wallop. I caused a war in Legoland with my own hands and screamed the house down like Godzilla. Excuse me. About 10 minutes later, my brother Min Min's came back home from school and I was still driving Noddy around Toyland with the PlayStation 2 controller. He saw the destruction that he knew I had caused and he was in silence for 5 seconds and then he cried blue murder. "How did this happen?" Min Min said. "Why did you do this?" he shouted and then sobbed his eyes out. At this point, I started to feel very sorry for him. When Mum came in to say, "What on earth has happened? Oh, Min Min's, what a calamity." He kept going on about what I'd done, but Mum stopped him and then told a lie. Remember that wild boar at the beginning of the story?
Oh, yes.
She told him the wild boar had come back to our house.
Wow.
A year after the storm had broken, while he was at school, and it was the boar that caused a rampage, destroying his miniature city built with Lego bricks. Min Min's believed the wild boar story, and it took him 15 years to realise it was me.
15 years?
Yes.
Wow.
And then I told him. So forgive me, Father Simon, Father Matt, and the Holy Sisters of Mercy, for I seek forgiveness to my brother Min Min's, who is still building Lego Technic vehicles whenever he gets them for Christmas. I also seek forgiveness from my mother, who helped me through a sticky situation by telling me a lie which made this situation entirely believable.
Who'd have thought it?
A story from France, a story with Min Min, story with Lego. What do you say, Sister Susie?
Well, Andy, I hear what you're going to say, and I know what Matt's going to say. He's probably going to say that it's taking 15 years to realise that it was you, and not a wild boar is probably makes him a bit thick and therefore
exactly
forgiven. However, I'm going to say that you actually, I hear you were. Expressed your anger, you destroyed the police station. That is enough. You didn't need to destroy the whole village. And fair play to your mum for keeping you back and trying to keep the peace. But I don't forgive you, Andy. You should have known better.
Blaming a wild boar is a fantastic excuse. Now, Matt is just not going to go on anyone's side when someone is called Min Min's.
Well, indeed, that is an odd name. And Susan's absolutely right. I am going to call Min Min's a bit thick for not working that out. For 15 years. But also, it strikes me that this wild boar was a blessing in disguise, wasn't it? Because it meant that from that point on, you could blame anything that happened in the house on the wild boar. How does he not realise that the wild boar hasn't upset anything else? It's just his Lego.
Just got upstairs and trampled.
Exactly. There's no thing that boars have with Lego. I don't think so. Anyway, we need someone else to tell us that. So, for all of the Lego reasons and the wild boar, I'm going to forgive.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
The great thing about having a wild boar in the story is the only other stories I know that wild boar turn up in is the Asterix stories. And then Obelix kills one and they eat it for tea, that kind of thing.
Yes. But we've not had wild boar in our confessions before, have we?
I really don't think so. No. That was a blessing. So that's a very lovely thing. But I'm not quite sure that the people's verdict went the traditional way.
Tommy in Market Drayton, though, says absolutely not forgiven. It's not very often I agree with Madame Justice, but Andy is a brat, and shame on the mum for lying for him. If it was to save getting him in trouble with his dad, then fair enough, but against a sibling, no way.
I think Tommy has history with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Should we call you Madam Justice?
Madam Justice.
Like that.
That's quite good.
Go with that, yeah.
It's very strong, isn't
it? Is that like an official post? A Greatest Hits Radio Wanted.
Madam Justice. Yes. Let's say it is. Let's say we've created that position right now.
Producer and Madam Justice. Yes. That's very good. Where does Susie fit in there? Are you Mademoiselle Justice? I suppose that works.
You said, where does Susie fit in?
Yes.
I'm Holly.
Oh, sorry.
Holly.
Where does Holly fit in? Edit point there.
Edit point. No one noticed.
Where
anyway.
Does Holly fit in? Mademoiselle Justice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Any others?
Maybe.
Lady Justice.
Lady Justice.
I think you are often more strict than I am.
I can be quite strict. Yes. But maybe Lady Justice works better. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Madam Justice, Lady Justice.
And Lady Justice. Okay, that sounds like some Marvel movies to be made there. Marvel would special... What they do is they pitch both of you against each other.
Yes, of course.
And you'd knock down buildings.
Yeah.
And you'd have special...
So much destruction.
Tight-fitting outfits, and you'd swing from tree to tree.
We're going down a route now. Okay.
Anyway, that's the end.
We're going so well, right into the word tight-fitting, aren't we? Going so well. That's all coming out. It's fine.
A lot of people would be...
I'm sure they would, but we're not going to go down that route either. So it looks like we're at the ad-lib to the end.
Send your confession to confessionsradio.co.uk. Brother Matt has this week's secret code phrase.
Let's stick with the original one. I mean, I was going to go with the tight-fitting one, but we're in enough trouble anyway. So let's go with poncing about with the buttercream. Yes.
Poncing about with the buttercream. If you've made it this far, you can post this week's code phrase on Threads or Blue Sky or even Instagram. Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads and Instagram, or Simon Mayo on Blue Sky. Matt is on the Filth channel, so you can...
when you say that, I mean, it sounds like it's on it.
Very grim over there.
It is, yeah. I mean, I think I'd want it to be called the Filth Channel X, as opposed to Matt is on the Filth Channel.
Yeah, what is Matt doing on the Filth Channel?
Tight-fitting stuff.
I'll rephrase it. Yeah. Matt, you can find Matt on X.
On X, there you go.
That kind of thing. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Thanks a lot. Don't forget to tell everybody about it. Leave us a 5-star review and share a bath with a friend. Is that right? I think that's right. Back next week. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
Draped over the cupboard of tat, Sister Holly says...
Hasta la vista, baby!
From the gutter, Brother Matthew performs...
Goodbye!
That was very...
It was very good, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Yes,
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
There is a computer game rage.
Computer game rage.